Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. I'm tired. I've been doing demolition work today. I'm currently demolishing a wall and a window that we want to make a little smaller so that we can accommodate our coming heat pump. We will have a heat pump for the house, and that required, if we wanted the bigger heat pump, the most powerful one, we needed to make a little place. We needed to have a window that was a little smaller. So the demolition work is very demanding because there's so many nails hidden here and there, and you have to chop through with a what I use is a reciprocating saw, and you have to give a lot of strength to it for it to continue in a line. Mickey Daza says, heat pumps are very cool, super efficient. Speaker's Corner says, I heard heat pumps are a scam. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know. It's hard to know, but I've been in the U.S. and heat pumps are playing a very big role there for, you know, for conditioned air during the summer. And in Canada, of course, the goal would be to use it in both modes and both heat during the winter and cool during the summer. I don't know. We'll try it and we'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, breaking, Nick Fuentes spurgs and gets in bitch fight after being called a cum hunter at CPAC. this personally doesn't lead me to change my view of Nick Fuentes. Obviously, it seems that he was being provoked here, he was being harassed, and we don't get to see much of the fight, but here, let's have a look at the video. So as soon as the video starts, they are already in kind of a fight, him and some guy who apparently would have called him a cum hunter. I mean, these people are exaggerating. A cum hunter, because Nick Fuentes would have decided not to judge someone based on rumors that he may have had flirtatious behavior toward a 15-year-old guy. It's a cum hunter. There's such a distance between actual cum hunting, like professional, like I'm setting up meetings between gay people in my community. This would be what I would call a cum hunter. Nick Fuentes, people are accusing him of basically being doubtful toward a set of accusations that were rumored around Ali Alexander back then. What is Nick Fuentes doing with those rain boots? He's still very much in the Kanye mood, isn't he? The boomer coat, the sunglasses, and the rain boots. What does that mean? Does that mean that he is still a counselor to Kanye under the guidance of Milo? So that was the altercation, basically. Nick Fuentes trying to neutralize the guy toward the wall, the guy responding with a low kick. So here you have a clinch through the wrist. And as Nick makes pressure, you have a knee that misses, but then transforms into a front kick to the leg. And Nick Fuentes will then go for the bitch punch, known in Compton as a technique of fight. The bitch beanie hit on the shoulder. Well, from an MMA perspective, this is bad. This is really bad. I mean, the optics of this in the MMA world are terrible.
Do you just walk away?
And so dude just walk away. His handlers and his helps are trying to stop the escalation because it could be bad for Nick Fuentes. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what happens when memes on the internet get into real life. because there's so much insults being thrown at Nick Fuentes. You know, these kind of people who develop an opinion on the internet and they get convinced by the anti-Fuentes propaganda. And I guess that Nick just saw one of them in real life and was like, okay, this is my chance to punch one of these keyboard warriors. Because I find this whole scandal around Nick completely ridiculous. Only on the internet could you be convinced by this kind of dirt accumulation onto people. Because it's really dirt for the sake of it. It's really just trying to crash Nick Fuentes. It's not a serious issue, what is being presented to us. Speaker's Corner says he needs all those waterproofs because he is a very successful commander. Okay, so those are not rain boots. They are cum boots. There's the point in your career as a cum hunter where you've accumulated such a pool of cum that you don't want to wet your socks. Go away, says Jeff. What would a heckler have to say to you in public for you to attack him? Absolutely, there is no way. No way that words lead to an attack. It's quite simple. If you're a public personality, there should be no words that justify an attack because the words mean nothing. The words are cheap. What's not cheap is to get into an altercation in which there are unknowns. Will this lead me to be arrested? Will this lead me to be criminally charged? Will this lead the other guy to pull a knife or a gun? So there is absolutely no word that can justify attacking for a celebrity or for someone who's known on the internet. So you always try to escape the situation. You leave it be. You ignore it as if it doesn't happen. And really the thing that can justify self-defense reactions is if the person gets into your personal space. Because if the person is setting up a dangerous situation in which they have access to hurting you, that is a sufficient justification to take action. But if they stay at a distance and they say stuff, there's nothing they could say that would lead me to punch them. There's nothing that they could say that would lead me to even approach them or look at them. That's the optimal reaction. The optimal reaction is, you are thinking as a ninja, how do I get out of this situation? The best way is ignore and respond to physical threat, respond to actual attacks. So crowds that get around you that limit your movement, or just one person getting around you, but in a way that gives him control on your direction, or that could eventually culminate into more people joining him. Those are dangerous situations. And so you need to think about the crowds. You need to think about the various individuals and what happens if a crowd movement happens. What happens if they are coordinated between one another? And taking all of these things in consideration, you have to assess the danger and move toward the direction where the crowd will be least likely to be able to surround you or hurt you in any way. So always move toward the direction that where there is less danger and less people, or where there is more people that support you. Like if it's a divided crowd with some of your supporters, head toward your supporters. Speaker's Corner says, JF would attack if you didn't reference TRP accurately. Oh, yes, I would be tempted. I would be like, you know, idiots like you have been misinterpreting my book on the internet for years. Now I got a shot at one of you. I'm going to take it. No, I wouldn't do this. Warcrime says, Nick is fucked. Groypers are flashing guns on camera, threatening feds and police. Is that true? I wouldn't know. What is that? What is that? Trump's CNN town hall is currently happening at CNN, but CNN is not streaming it on Twitter, so I'm not looking at it. Once there are uploads on Twitter, I might give it a listen. I don't expect anything fantastic there. Trump has been saying, I'm giving a chance to CNN because they're desperate. Their ratings are so low there. They want some of that Trump ratings, that sweet Trump rating. And it's such a boomer attitude. Holy shit, is it annoying. But it's fun. It's also fun. It's better than nothing, you know, to hear Trump try to insult CNN as he goes onto CNN. But it's a falling system. It's a dinosaur system. And I'm not super fascinated about what Trump will say on this thing. Someone has made a montage of my opinion on eggs. Go Away says, is there an amount of eggs scrambled, eaten on a daily basis that could be done? If you want to be serious about your egg cooking, what is this? Why did you do this? I appreciate. I like this. The whole 80s, 80s aesthetics, and the idea that I would be like so intense onto egg cooking that I'm like this gym guy who's egg maxing. That is funny. I don't know why this 80s aesthetic is making it onto the internet, but it is. You know, the Richard Spencer show to a certain extent with, you know, the pink-purple intro. I've seen this aesthetic be used by fascists of the internet at times. And now someone is using it for me. Well, okay. Oh yeah, synthwave, vaporwave. I think that's the specific type of music or mood that there was there. I don't know about this aesthetic. It's never been my thing. I'm too young for finding the 80s aesthetic something that I identify with. I'm much more a man of the 90s. Yesterday, I published the episode on Twitter, 1,600 views, so it's kind of doubling our reach. However, the crowd engagement with a long video like this on Twitter is lower than on YouTube or Odyssey. So you end up, that's because a lot of these views are just people seeing the episode in their timeline, but they may watch a couple of seconds and then they move. So is it worth doing it? I'll do it once in a while because there are people who will never click on an Odyssey link, and perhaps I'll do it just to give them a taste that, yeah, the show still exists. And if you want to join us on Odyssey anytime, you click on my links and you'll be okay. But I don't think I'll publish every episode yet. Perhaps when Tucker Carlson comes onto Twitter, it might become the standard platform for intellectuals and news. But I won't spam all of the episode on there. I don't think it's worth it. I think that Twitter needs to get better in terms of being a place where people seriously go to watch long videos, because it's definitely not the case. People expect kind of constant stimulation on Twitter, scrolling, they expect a flow of news that doesn't bind, that doesn't mix well with long-term content of the long-form content of the kind that I do. For now, I want it to get better, and eventually my dream would be to be a fully Twitter intellectual, Twitter broadcast news guy. If I could do everything on Twitter, wouldn't that be beautiful? One to rule them all, one place to bring them all and bind them, my Twitter account. People sent me this information about E. Jean Carroll, the woman who won a legal case against Trump yesterday. I don't know if he's the originator of those thing, but Ace of Spades HQ, I don't know what this blog is, but he had identified apparently in 2019 that the whole story of E. Jean Carroll, as she does it, of being raped by Trump, as she explains it on CNN to Anderson Cooper, has been a fictitious story that we can recover from Law and Order, an episode of a fictitious TV show where there was a rape fantasy in that episode, and the girl wanted to get raped in the exact store that is mentioned by E. Jean Carroll, the Bergdorf, and in the exact same way it happened to her, according to her, in the Bergdorf by being raped by Trump, which is that she was trying a lingerie. Well, the rape fantasy in Law and Order, there was a trial of a lingerie. The guy burst into the trying room and rapes the girl. And that was a fantasy that they wanted to accomplish. So let's look at her explanation of this moment where Trump rapes her.
And so we went up the escalator. We went to the lingerie department. It was empty. There was nobody there. There was nobody on the whole floor, frankly. I think you go through bathing suits and cruise wear, and the store was not populated at the time. Nobody was there on the counter.
That's going to sound strange, people, that nobody was in the...
Because Bergdorf's is the greatest store on the earth. They take care of whatever you want there. Mm-hmm. If you're thirsty, they'll...
So that is our explanation. So it's the store Bergdorf. And she later tells to Anderson Cooper that Trump insists that she tries a lingerie, and that Trump burst into the lingerie trying room and rapes her. Now, you have the episode of Law and Order, season 13, episode 11. They are investigating a man, and they have some clues as they're doing their investigation. They're looking for a girl who likes rape fantasies. And so they find a guy who's been involved in a lot of these encounters with women where they have rape fantasies. And they start interrogating him, and they say, what did you do with this girl? What was the rape fantasy that you guys had together? And listen to this.
Did anyone want to role play a rape with you in a public place?
Yes, there was one, a bit plain, and it was not her fantasy, it was mine.
Okay.
Yeah. Role play took place in the dressing room of Bergdorf's. While she was trying on lingerie, I would burst in.
Hold on.
Bergdorf, lingerie, and he would burst in. Is it possible that E. Jean Carroll is the greatest troll of all time? She has not only gotten a false accusation against Trump, has gotten Trump now on a judgment of $5 million, but has done so with a story of which the fictitious roots are publicly available for everyone to see. That is quite a coincidence, if it's a coincidence. Bergdorf, lingerie, burst in the dressing room. Four elements that map onto the story of E. Jean Carroll. if we were studying here a case of plagiarism, would be like, on its own, maybe it's not plagiarism, but with more evidence that would go around it, it would certainly be a good basis to report there. Is it possible here that we have one of the most trollish plagiarism ever exposed, and we're just at the border of it being detectable as certain plagiarism, or it's kind of, or is it possible that E. Jean Carroll, even unintentionally, may have been inspired into her fantasies in her head by this Law and Order episode? You know, if it wasn't of the TV era of the internet, if this was all happening in the internet era of humanity, we could actually go back to her YouTube history and determine if she ever watched Law and Order season 13, episode 11. Too bad we can't, because it's probably too old and there probably would be no record of her listening to it. But certainly the question should be asked at this point: is it possible that a jury just found Trump guilty on a fictitious story? Wow. Community notes, announces, contributors' time is valuable and best spent reviewing high-quality notes. Today we're making the number of notes one can write in 24 hours proportional to their track record. The more helpful notes you've written, the more you can write. If you hit your limit, you will see this. That is very good, because I've been annoyed by the fact that on community notes, there is very great work being done, but there's most of the community notes that they try to write aren't worth it. They are poorly written. They should be rejected. And I can't believe that I'm still not a community note writer. Like, most of the community notes I see, I'd be like, holy shit, I could write something so much more better. So much better. Give me a chance here. They just use me as a voter. Make me a community note writer. I have a PhD. I can write very well. And I can write good arguments that are very neutral. I know what neutral writing is. And I know the style of the community notes that have been successful. So give me a chance, Twitter. First name, last name says, hello, Jeff. How big of a harem does one need to repopulate the planet by himself? Well, that's kind of a ridiculous question. You could repopulate the planet with a handful of people. Now, people would argue, well, there won't be enough genetic diversity. Maybe. So what, you need a bottleneck of 30, 100 people? Now, if it was a harem of only women and you are the only male, you might be faced with a brick wall of lacking genetic diversity, because basically, eventually, at some point in the history of the world, all of the children in the world would be half your genes and half some genetically diverse female. It's not a valuable question. Whatever happens, happens in evolution. And in principle, if you have two people should be enough to get a population to remain in existence. Now, you can make all sorts of arguments around, oh, you won't have genetic diversity, you need a bigger bottleneck. But I don't know. In principle, no, you don't need a bottleneck. In principle, you're still going to survive one more generation. And then that other generation, they will interbreed. And some of them will have recessive disorders, but not all of them. Stephen Robinson says, breaking, Google announces A3 supercomputers for rent. Okay. I won't be renting supercomputers, so, and I'm not super excited about supercomputers. Stephen Robinson had sent me a tweet of his tomato plants. Okay. I'm not engaged in gardening this year. I have too much construction work to do, but it's beautiful to see that you are working at it. Beautiful tomato plants. Those look like they would be perfect for planting outside, depending on the temperature you get. James Kirkpatrick says, again, it's not that they can't protect our border. It's not that it's impossible. It's that they want you replaced. There's plenty of money. It's just that you are the enemy your rulers want to fight. He says that in response to the Biden administration announcing additional security assistance for Ukraine. What a black hole for money. I can't believe that we're doing this. And yes, this whole thing with Ukraine proves that we would have plenty of money to care for our own nation. Go away says, yo, did Stephen just dox himself? I don't think that Stephen is someone who looks for full privacy. I think that he has been open about his gardening activity, and that is fine. DK Shadow says, I'll rent the supercomputer to help build a cheaper, more powerful supercomputer. Well, there you have just initiated a life cycle. So careful what you do there, DK Shadow. Timbleman says, is male disposability eugenic? Is female hypergamy nature's sorting algorithm? Is bullying and the suppression of weak men by strong men natural benevolence? Well, you can see all of these things as part of the game of eugenics. So the first question, is male disposability eugenic? We have to understand what we mean by male disposability, because if you mean the fact that some males will not reproduce, definitely that is eugenic, because it's part of the sexual selection. It's part of the, when women decide the quality of a male is sufficient to ally with him and enjoy a monogamous lifestyle with him and produce his babies, then the test has been passed. The test of having enough wealth and enough social status to attract a woman. So definitely there's lots of eugenics that pass through female choice. Now, when I say male disposability, that's not what I'm talking about. Because that's the Pareto principle, the whole idea that many males don't get to reproduce and the top males get to reproduce a lot. That is fine. It's fine that it exists. I think that we should always design societal norms and beliefs around marriage so that the hurtful effect of this super eugenic system be minimized. But it will be there in some form always. Even if you have fair one-to-one female-to-female relationships in your society with full monogamous lifestyle, even in there, the best guys are going to get the most beautiful woman. And the eugenic force will continue. Now, when I talk of male disposability, I talk of the way our modern society has been taking the sperm of the male, but disallowing his access to children and taking his money, basically squeezing everything that's good from the male, but not letting him have a say and control over the next generation. That's what I call male disposability, and that's definitely not eugenic. If anything, it is anti-eugenic, because you take all of the capacities that you have selected at the sexual selection moment. So here's a man who is better socially, better in terms of accumulation of wealth, more intelligent, more charming. And you say you won't be able to communicate any of this to your children because family courts have decided that you're an abuser. That is male disposability, and that's not eugenic at all, because you've taken your selection and you've reverted it. Now you select away from the good. You select away from the good influence that the father could be toward his children. Covey Killer Clown says, how is Mama JF? She hasn't made an appearance as she made kimchi recently. She hasn't made kimchi recently. She did make an appearance recently, and I punished her for it, so she is not welcome on the show for still a couple of days or weeks because she attempted a terrorist action onto the show, and I don't take this lightly. Terrorism in my house is punished. CIA helped recruit signers for Russian disinfo laptop letter that influenced 2020 election. A member of the internal board that reviews materials written for publication by present and former employees of the CIA helped solicit signatures for the October 2020 letter, claiming that the Hunter Biden laptop story has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. Of course, I knew that it had to be some intelligence service, CIA or whatever other agency of the government. But now we know. So basically, you had the Twitter side of this, which was like, oh yeah, well, it does seem that, you know, they're using the term Russian disinformation in a very broad and irresponsible way. But we're not going to say anything about it to the people. And you have the CIA side, which was taking all of these supposed experts and mounting a fictitious story by trying to get the biggest names in intelligence to sign on this crap letter. Not surprised at all. DK Shadow says, literal CIA. That is funny. That is funny that we could come to the point where CIA ops are such common accusations on the internet that at this point you have a literal CIA. I really love the term literal. It tells so much about human cognition. And I do still have to write this part of the moral signal, but I have a note in the moral signal. Expand on this. Because literal, when someone has to say literal, it means they've been abusing the first layer of use of that word. Like the fact that the left has to say like literally Hitler, it means you've been thinking about Hitler too much. It means you've been opposing the label Hitler on too many things, and now you need to restore the purity of that label for the occasion. And so you say literally Hitler in the sense that, but when you say literally something, you discredit your previous uses of that word. You're saying, I've been saying that everything is a CIA op. I've been saying that everything is Hitler. But this time I really mean it. Literal Hitler. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, were you speculating today that Andrew Tate is a literal CIA operative? I've not speculated. I did retweet. I retweeted someone who was asking questions around the fact that Andrew Tate has emerged out of nowhere, became somehow Jordan Peterson's daughter, boyfriend, and made up a lot of money, like in the many, many millions, at least, to live the lifestyle that he was living. And the person was asking legitimate questions about how do you get that kind of money. Now, I wouldn't speculate that he's a CIA operative. But certainly there are questions. He didn't get that money by being an influencer. So how did he get that money? And people have been speculating that he may have been in the downstream of his father who owned casinos, and people have been talking of his involvement in various businesses around casinos and exploiting men on the internet based on cam girls and and that kind of, you know, these girls who beg money for their fans and then they show their pussy on camera and they get the money. It seems that he has been operating in those worlds. Landolt Guntram says, if you are on top of the sex biz pyramid, you get that much money. Exactly. So I don't think that it's necessarily a CIA explanation to say he's been making money out of sexual exploitation of deceptive pornographic materials of various kinds. Stick Sexton Hammer says the BBC deleted its hysterical tweet wherein they accidentally insinuate that Tim Pool is a terroristic Nazi mass shooter, but archives are forever. This is hilarious because I was joking about this before the BBC tweet. I was joking about this 2 days ago saying Tim Pool inspired this mass shooting. Tim Pool, the right-wing YouTuber Tim Pool inspired this mass shooting committed by a Mexican white supremacist. Now, BBC basically memed my joke into reality. They made an article that was titled Why Some People Are Spreading False Rumors About the Texas Gunman. But somehow they made the picture, not the picture that anyone would be expecting, which is, I would have expected, show me a picture of the Texas gunman, because it's a title about the Texas gunman. But no, they showed the picture of Tim Pool, who looks bizarre with his beanie. Like you would expect this is the picture of a mass shooter when he was a little younger or before he got into the whole mass shooting thing. And people were complaining on Twitter. I think it's legitimate for the BBC to have deleted this. It's ridiculous. Like, you have to be careful about how your thumbnails and your pictures are sending a signal, especially in the environment where, what is it, 1 to 5% of people might read your article. 95% of people will see the face of Tim Pool and, oh, we have a problem with mass shooters. And they won't notice that you're actually linking Tim Pool to the misinformation. And anyways, what is this idea that Tim Pool is one of the main pole of misinformation around this shooting? I don't know where you would get this. Well, another of my predictions from my ordinal's letter about the revolutionary phenotype comes to truth. Multiple parent babies have happened. 3 is not a crowd. Baby born in the UK from DNA of more than 2 people. It is not yet the specific meiotic mix that I had envisioned, but it will come. It will come. This particular intervention is because of a mitochondria disorder. So you have a separate genome for your mitochondria. Basically, we have this bacteria that lives among us. It lives among our cells, and it's called the mitochondria. And it has preserved its bacterial DNA that it used to have before it started living inside of our cells. And in this case, there was a genetic disorder that's specifically for the mitochondria genome. And so I like the way they did it. They didn't do it with CRISPR. They used a donor a donor of healthy mitochondria. So basically, they take the egg, they have a way to siphon out all of the unhealthy mitochondria, leave your genome, but pump out the mitochondria and put in the healthy mitochondria of some other human. So you end up making the baby that is truly genetically yours, except for the mitochondrial genome. But I don't think that the mitochondrial genome contributes to much of our looks and who we are. I think it's mostly a machine, and it's good to replace it if it was defective in this case. But that means that technically, the person who will be born from this is has three parents. But as far as I'm concerned, I say that he has two parents for his main genome. The third parent contributed a little machine called the mitochondria. Updated DNA map better reflects human diversity. Look at the BBC.com showing us the diversity of genetic research. We have the leading black researcher in DNA genomics and computer sciences. We have an Asian scientist. And then we have the white person in the background, out of focus. That is truly the state of current science. It's an increasingly diverse thing. Of course, I don't expect this picture to represent an actual thing. I'm sure they've set it up very artificially. But anyways, they say scientists have produced an updated map of all human DNA, which could help to transform medical research. But look at what they say. That is quite a fascinating admission. Genetic information about diversity should be used responsibly and not to provide evidence of differences in race, which is a social construct. We have to understand what it shows and, importantly, what it doesn't show. We have to make sure that taking information very superficially to establish false racial characteristics does not happen. So basically, you're going to keep people from accessing your data because you're afraid that they could see truths that you don't want them to know about. So this is an unjust action of government scientists, because they're stealing money from everyone to do this shit. They are taxing you, they are taxing white people, and they're saying, if we find anything that would be useful to you, we're going to hide it from you. We're just going to publish data in a way that can favor the leftist dogmas about the world. And it's time that we organize politically to defund science, because it's no more a search for truth. They're saying it here. They're saying we're gonna select the truths that disadvantage you, and we're gonna publish only those. So if we find a truth that you would learn from about other races, and that you may perhaps change your behavior toward other races based on, we're not going to reveal this information. So that's not truth seeking. That is reinforcing leftist beliefs about the world by obfuscating any other truth, selecting those truths that are leftist in nature and putting them forward as if it was the only truth. John Drake says, if it's a construct, science couldn't show anything. So no problem. Yeah, exactly. If we're deluded with our concepts of race, it will never correlate with the truth. But why does it always correlate with the truth? It must be because there's some kind of truth to our social construct. Major Moscow summit moves Syria-Turkey normalization forward. Following 12 years of a de facto state of war between the countries, given Turkish forces have long occupied strips of territory near the northern Syria border and previously supported a jihadist highway into the country in past efforts to overthrow President Assad, it seems that Russia wants these two countries to be together and to not be at war with each other. I think it's a great contribution of Russia for a true peace in this region, because Syria is being sandwiched by the forces of NATO in the form of Turkey pressure in the north, and you have a lot of aggression coming from Israel, And you have a lot of bombarding, literally, just from the U.S. You'll remember the strikes that Donald Trump had done. So the problem is we have a triangle of aggression against Syria. And it's good to see Russia participate here to real work forward so that we get peace for the Syrian people. But I don't know. I mean, you can get Turkey maybe to withdraw a little bit, but I don't know that you can get the US and Israel off of their back. Saturn Shine says, I get a lot of advertising geared toward blacks, but I'm not black. Yeah, I mean, the advertisers, they have to follow all these rules. It's like, okay, we have to act like you're black because we've reached our quota of white-based ads. Now we need to have a certain percentage of black ads. And it's so painful that governments are forcing this. Biden family tried to hide over $10 million in foreign payments, according to the House GOP. House Republicans laid out evidence of a vast network of Biden family dealings which reek of corruption, including the Biden family received and tried to hide over $10 million in payments from foreign nationals, a previously undisclosed $1 million in Romanian-linked payments, ties to Romanian influence peddling, a web of 20 LLCs created while Joe Biden was vice president with a complicated corporate structure. At least 15 of the LLCs were formed after Biden became VP, several of which were owned or co-owned by Hunter. These LLCs accepted payments ranging from $5,000 to $3 million. The committee wants to know what legitimate business the Biden family was in. Well, we know that it wasn't legitimate business. We know that this was all a network put forward by Hunter Biden to get 10% for the big guy. So we've known this for a long time. I'm happy that the official voices of the GOP are wise to it, but it's been years. It's been years that we know about it. And I hope that there will be a prosecution. I would hope that we get this. I mean, they've prosecuted Trump for so much less. We literally have records of 10% for the big guy and Hunter Biden lying and Hunter Biden saying, Joe Biden saying, I don't meet these people that work with my son. And then we have pictures of him meeting with them on golf courses. So it's good, but it's a little late at this point. Politicians are openly supporting white supremacists, white extremists, according to Tariq Nasheed, Tuberville on white nationalists in the military. I call them Americans. The left has been so cocooned in their safe space of where anyone couldn't say anything positive about white people that they haven't realized that, hey, you know, white people belong in the American army like anyone else. And if someone, even if someone was a Nazi, you couldn't do anything against them as far as the army goes until they commit a crime or they have some behavior that is outside of the rules of the army. You literally cannot fire people for their beliefs in America. And especially if you're the government. So Tariq Nasheed, the politicians are openly supporting white extremists. Well, have they committed any crime? Because if they are white extremists only by the standard of having beliefs about white people, I'm sorry, but that's how the Constitution goes. And that would be a politician who adheres to the Constitution. These states will be hit the hardest if the U.S. debt ceiling standoff isn't resolved. They say CNN is worried of all those states that have big employment dependence on the government, District of Columbia, California, Ohio. Well, then I'm going to tell you, let's do this government shutdown. If we can shut down in a way that leads to high unemployment in those state-dependent states, shut it down. That would be beautiful. I don't understand why we're not shutting the government down for real. And when I mean for real, I want the employees, when they come back to work, not to get the back pay. So do it! Do it, says DK Shadow. Colorado Teachers Union passes an anti-capitalist resolution, sparking outcry from Republicans. Two Republican members of Colorado's U.S. House delegation have criticized the state's teachers' union for the passage of an anti-capitalist resolution. Capitalism inherently exploits children, public schools, land, labor, and resources. Bro, you got it in reverse. You guys, the teachers, unions, you are exploiting capitalism. You are living on the productivity of capitalism. You are working at jobs that are being paid for by money that was taken from people against their will. And those jobs would have improved so much more in a competing environment. In a competing environment, we would have different types of teaching. There would be private teaching. There would be, you don't have to go to school every day from 9 to 5, but we're going to adjust for your needs. We get none of this. We got none of this because we have the government public schools that are operated like it's a temporary cage for children while parents work. You are the parasites who are living off the productivity of others, teachers, and it's time that you face the free market and the fact that most people don't need your services. We have to be careful because when the union does this, anti-capitalist beliefs, it means that all of these teachers will be influenced by this kind of text. It means that all of our children will be taught these anti-capitalist principles by those very teachers. And so it's time we don't send our children to public school because it's way too dangerous. They're going to insert these leftist beliefs like they've been successful at doing for the last few decades. And it's going to hurt the next generation of children. If you can, pull your children out of school and homeschool them. Go Away says we should literally shut down the government. JF 2023. Yes. Yes, that was a use of literally, not because I overstate the shutting down of the government, but they do. The whole idea of a government shutdown, the problem is it's not a shutdown at all. You're going to pay all of the back pay to these employees that are not working. You have to pay them at the end of it when they come back. That's ridiculous. That's not a shutdown. I advocate for a literal shutdown, and I have always advocated for a literal shutdown. The censorship industrial complex, our last news item for tonight. Top 50 organizations to know. So you have the whole intelligence agencies, Homeland Security, DARPA, Department of State, CIA, NATO, Big Tech, Twitter, Facebook, Google, Instagram, YouTube, the NGOs. So those are Media Matters for America, First Draft. You have the fact checkers. You have the think tanks, and you have the academic initiatives and the for-profits. All of these people have lost a massive amount of power the day Elon Musk bought Twitter. And it is so beautiful to see because this whole thing, if you don't have willingness to interact with them, If you create alternative platform, or like Elon Musk, you buy the existing platform and you make it completely impenetrable by these people, this whole thing falls. All of these corporations would lose their funding, they would lose their interest, they will lose their function in the world if everything moves toward Twitter and if Elon Musk can hold to the principle of freedom and fairness on Twitter. And it's going to be, have been billions of dollars thrown through the window, basically, by whoever is trying to centrally coordinate this. Because you don't end up with such a big graph without a few billionaires really, really wanting hard for this thing to happen. And they've been so successful before Elon took over Twitter that I was scared that they would set the standard for forever, that basically we would have lost internet liberty. And we haven't, because we're fighting back and we're winning. John Drake says, I thought $45 billion was overpriced. I'm rethinking this. Oh, yeah, it is so intense what has happened, and there will be so much repercussions in the coming years. 2024 will be super exciting. Everything can happen again. And what's the price of this? Like, what can you buy at $45 billion? What else can you buy than Twitter that can change the state of civilization forever? Nothing. Nothing. You can produce whatever you want, even rockets into space, even the potentiality of traveling to Mars. There is nothing like buying Twitter for $45 billion. Nothing you can buy for the same price that will have such a civilizational impact. So no, it was not overpriced. I totally agree with the price, $45 billion. That is it for tonight. Much love. I'm cutting the show short because I was very tired starting the show and I have my eyes becoming weaker and weaker. I'll go rest and tomorrow I will continue my demolition work. I really need to get this done in a few days because the heat pump will soon be installed. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow I'll cancel the regular show because I'll be on Richard Spencer at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I don't know if he will be streaming live, or if he is, I will certainly give the link to my social media pages. Bye-bye, everyone.